So SpaceX has released its long-awaited plans to go public.
Yes, sir.
What does this mean for the market? Because if it is going to be as big as some people say it is going to be, then Elon Musk could become a trillionaire with a T.
Yes.
So what? How does that impact the market? Because it feels like that is a seismic entry into what you can invest in. So we call on Chris Alberta, the president of Principium Tactical Wealth Management, to chop it up. Christopher, good morning. Good to have you.
Good morning, fellas. Good to be with you.
What does this mean for the market? Like, what do we initially see when this actually does go public?
Well, it's going to be gangbusters because it is by far the most consequential IPO in the history of the stock market, bar none. Even the indexes are changing their rules to allow near immediate entry into it. It'll be listed on the NASDAQ, which is uncommon. Usually something has to trade for at least, you know, a few months. The S&P, for example, 12 months typically. Everyone is going to own this, you guys, even passively, because unlike the average IPO where you're buying as an investor directly from the company in its initial offering, you know, usually the indexes are only there for trading between investors on the secondary market. So, you know, this will be in the S&P 500 probably within a year, and everybody investing in ETFs in the S&P 500 will passively own it kind of by default. But, you know, there's two conversations here, you guys. One really is about the IPO itself and how it might change the market. It's still going to lose money for a while. But, you know, Elon is doing something that is so far ahead of his competitors. He has vertically integrated all these companies. So outside of Tesla, everything now is becoming essentially one stock. So SpaceX, which is really far more than a rocket story, along with X, you know, it used to be Twitter, and XAI, they're all being, essentially, they're converging into one gigantic, you know, envelopment. And this is probably, if not completely, the most powerful engine of exploration in terms of the new world. This is going to dwarf the Industrial Revolution.
Chris, the company posted nearly $19 billion in revenue last year. It also reported about $4.3 billion quarterly loss. And in the market today, are investors still willing to overlook losses if they believe the long-term growth story is big enough?
Yeah, of course. And to be fair, most of the investors who are buying stocks of that ilk are in it for the long term, because you're talking about a company that is 3 to 5 years ahead of everybody else and will be putting data centers in space in the next 36 months. No one really is going to care about short-term losses. If you're buying this as an IPO thinking, hey, I'm going to buy this and let it pop for a month and it'll be at a fever pitch, and I'm going to buy it at X, I'm going to sell it at Y and make a quick profit, you're probably missing the point. This company is going to continue to lose money, Lloyd. There is no doubt about it. But that's the same as almost every, you know, think about Facebook, for example, when it went live. They were losing money hand over fist. IPOs have traditionally been a method by which early investors, individual investors, could cash out. That's what it really was for historically. And then after this concept is established, they cash out and the public then starts to essentially take over, so to speak, and distributes that risk amongst a bunch of others. But let's just explore this for a quick second, because I think this is not a rocket story. Well, I know it's not a rocket story. When you think about SpaceX, you think about, okay, this guy's flying to the moon and Starlink is where they're making all of their money, putting satellites up in countries with no infrastructure. But the reality is AI is the new world, and his physical arm of AI, which is Tesla, clearly with autonomous cars and robo-taxis, so on and so forth, is very, very far ahead. They need no partnership in anybody else. They're doing it all internally. The constraints, you guys, of data centers, the resource constraints, the new legislative stoppages we've seen in other states where they're saying, no, we will forbid your bid to put this huge data center up. It takes too much water. It takes too much real estate. He said a couple of years ago, fine, I'm just going to float them around in space where we don't need water and we have constant sunlight, so on and so forth. And this is happening. I mean, there's contracts in place. So when you're buying SpaceX, you're essentially buying data centers in space in the next few years, and everybody else will be so heavily dependent on him for that, including Google and Meta and everyone else wanting to run their AI platform, that the sky, literally, or the moon, let's say, is the limit.
Yeah, and Meta doesn't have the ability to launch satellites into space, but Elon
right.
does.
Yeah, hey, by the way, I have my own rocket, so right. if you guys want to tag along,
there you go.
I'll just charge you a measly sum.
Exactly yeah. right. So if somebody's listening to our conversation now, and when this finally does go public, they're going, all right, we're going to call Chris Alberta. We're going to try to get everything settled. We want to make sure that we're set up for the next 10, 15, 20 years down the road. How does this mm-hmm. change your operations? Does it change your operations at all?
No, it doesn't change it one bit, because the reality is that individual investors who have a risk profile that suggests they want to own something that is an emerging stock and has crazy horsepower, but also could have a very, very bumpy ride in terms of its percentages up and down, probably are not my client. The client, I mean, your sure. retiree client who owns the S&P 500, again, will probably own SpaceX passively by default, because it will be in the biggest indexes in the world. So they will experience some of the profitability of that company or the loss of that company mm-hmm. in certain circumstances. And I think what is very, very fascinating too is, and I'll just give you one example. If you've heard of the company Redwire, I think it trades under RDW. They make the solar panels that are already on the space stations in space. They're contracted with Musk. So, you know, if you start putting space center or data centers in space, they're going to need hundreds of thousands of solar panels to power the thing.
Yeah.
So it's not just SpaceX that's going to either benefit, for example, the investor or not. It's all the adjacent companies that are trading for measly sums right now that are going to get these massive contracts. Those could be, you know, 1,000% game type scenarios. So for our average client, you're going to have some people that fractionally want to be invested in this at the individual level, just want to own the stock because they enjoy it, just like Apple was many, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. But most people will benefit from it indirectly more than they will directly.
And before we go, I got to ask you, you know, SpaceX plans to keep Musk in control. He's going to have like 85% voting power after the IPO. For an investor, I mean, is a strong founder control reassuring because of his vision, or is that, can that be concerning because there's less accountability?
Well, I think it's probably concerning in most scenarios. I think historically, despite the fact that Musk says such bombastic things, right? I mean, he wants you to be able to colonize on Mars in the future. I mean, that sounds insane. Until you look back at many of the things that have sounded insane in the past that have come to fruition. I bet you guys both dinner within, you know, 5 years or so, Tesla will also be absorbed into the same holding. It'll all be one thing and trade under ELON.
Okay.
The man built it.
Yeah.
He is literally the most consequential person on planet Earth currently, whether you like him or not. And I think you probably want him in control, because as soon as you start, you know, from a visionary standpoint, as soon as you start diluting the power center, it's not what it was anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, completely agree. Chris Alberta, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
See you, boys.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I mean, I think that you can talk about the political nature of Elon Musk and how he got in with the Trump administration and all those things, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But the thing that you cannot deny about Elon Musk is he is the visionary.
He is. And you would feel more comfortable with him, you know, being in control of
that. He is the innovator. He is the brains. He is the driving force behind all of this.
Yes.
All of this. So I think that is exactly right. Coming up on the other side, the new fund for victims of weaponized prosecution, particularly those who on January 6th and those who attacked officers, up on for great debate. We'll talk to Barbara McQuaid next on JR Morning.